This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Again, greetings and welcome to this lesson. We're glad you've tuned us in, and we trust the program encourages you and blesses you and perhaps even challenges you. And if you would like to contact me, you can go to my website, bdcministries.com. You can use the email address or the postal address that's given there. This program can be re-listened to there. It can also be downloaded to your computer and passed on to others if you would like to do that. You can also reach me at the old-fashioned way, Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. We would love to get your comments, and if you have prayer requests, we would pray for you. Now, today we're going to start a little different series. We're going to go back and look at the Ten Commandments as they're found in the Bible. But what we're really wanting to do is look at the Ten Commandments as listed in the Old Testament, and we want to see what the New Testament says about those Ten Commandments. There are many people who believe that if they keep the Ten Commandments, that they will be able to get into heaven by doing that. And I think what we're going to show you is that the New Testament shows, first of all, that in some cases we misunderstand the impact of the Ten Commandments as they're given to us, but even if we take them literally as given in the Old Testament, Romans and other passages make it clear that none of us are able to keep these commandments. James in particular, we're going to emphasize this, says that if you keep all of them and yet offend in one point, you're guilty of breaking the whole, you're guilty of breaking the law. And so we need to understand how the Ten Commandments fit into our understanding of who the Lord Jesus is. The Lord Jesus, of course, was able to keep the Ten Commandments. That is, he not only kept it in the sense of preserving them, but he, of course, was the one who gave those commandments to Moses. I believe Jehovah was the one who wrote those commandments on the stone tablets that Moses got. And the Lord then, of course, being a perfect sinless man, was able to keep these Ten Commandments. But yet at the same time, he's made it pretty clear that we need a Savior, because we can't really keep the Ten Commandments. We're really not holy and sinless in that way. Now, I want to list the Ten Commandments before I read from the Old Testament. I want to list the Ten Commandments as they're usually given to us. The first one is, "You shall have no other gods before me." I'm not reading from the scripture here. I'm just reading a summary of the commandments as you might find them on a tablet someplace or on an inscription in some church. So, "You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make idols." That's number two. "You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain." And that's interesting, an interesting statement with regard to what we understand of that particular commandment. "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy." That's another one that is an interesting one that we'll be discussing as we go along. "Honor your father and your mother." That's another interesting one as we study it from the New Testament. "You shall not murder." That one's pretty clear, pretty straightforward. "You shall not commit adultery." That one's pretty clear, pretty straightforward. "You shall not steal." And that one's pretty clear and pretty straightforward. "You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor." And that isn't just lying, that's lying in a court of law. "And you shall not covet." And you'll notice that the first four, having no other gods, not making idols, not taking the name of the Lord your God in vain, and remembering the Sabbath day, they are Godward oriented. And then the last six have to do with our relationship with our friends and our neighbors and our family. Now, I want to read to you from the Old Testament what Moses, or what we understand Moses got from God in the passage in Exodus chapter 20, where we first read about the Ten Commandments. Now, it's going to be a little bit more lengthy than normal, but I think it would be worth reading it. God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord, that's Jehovah, your God, your Almighty One, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. And then he starts in, you shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing mercy or loving kindness to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments, and the thought is, who guard my truth. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work. You, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates, for in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God has given you. You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house, you shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male servant, nor his female servant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is your neighbor's. And that is the list of the Ten Commandments that Moses received in Exodus 20. And these commandments are important. They're repeated in Deuteronomy 5. The Bible says, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word shall be established. And so I believe that the fact that the commandments are given twice, that they are, in fact, important. And the Lord is trying to draw our attention to the fact that those commandments are important. Now, the law, we read in John 1 and verse 17, the law was given through Moses. That is, that's what we've read about in Exodus 20. But grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. And so when we come to the New Testament, we find out that the Lord Jesus kept those commandments, but he has given us something that we do not deserve, and that's salvation. Sometimes grace is referred to as God's riches at Christ's expense. That's the acrostic G-R-A-C-E, God's riches at Christ's expense. And he has been gracious to us and has provided a means of forgiving us when we fail with regard to those commandments. And that's why he didn't give up the truth of the commandments, but he has provided a way to be forgiven when we come up short with regard to those commandments. And we do come up short, because when we read in Romans chapter 1 and 2, we find out that the whole world has turned away from God, but there are those who, by patient continuance and well-doing, seek for eternal life. And it makes it clear that if you patiently continue in well-doing, the end result will be eternal life. And then it goes on to show that nobody really does that. Romans 3 and verse 19 says, now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. And this is a very important point, because I talk to a lot of people and they seem to think that they have never sinned. And they really don't understand the impact of these commandments, particularly the one where we will have no other gods other than the God of heaven, other than Jehovah, because most of us set ourselves up as final authority on the interpretation of these laws. But it says that this law was given that every mouth might be stopped. And so when you look at Romans chapter 3, and we've dealt with this passage before, we find out that it's really a courtroom scene. And we find out that the Lord is bringing the gavel down with regard to us who are in the court and have been charged with sin. He's bringing the gavel down and says, you're guilty. But we've already noted that the Lord is gracious. And so the Lord then steps down from the bench and takes the place of the person being charged with the sin. And even though they're guilty, the Lord says, I am going to be your substitute. I'm going to bear the guilt that you deserved. And he did that when he became the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And so in James, he makes it clear again that we don't keep the whole law. In James, he says, for whosoever shall keep the whole law. Now, James, keep in mind, was the Lord's brother. He knew what the Lord Jesus was like when he was being raised. He knew, he saw a person who didn't disobey, didn't sin, didn't rebel, being raised in his home. And it must have been quite a contrast to the rest of the children in that family. And he says now that he has accepted the fact that this one that was raised in his home is in fact the Messiah. He says, whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point, he is guilty of all. We've already mentioned that. And so now we ask ourselves, well, what does the Lord really say with regard to the Ten Commandments? And it turns out that the Ten Commandments are summarized by the Lord, and the Old Testament law is summarized by the Lord. And it's the key to our relationship with God. He says in Matthew 7 and verse 12, therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. We call that the golden rule. And I doubt very much if any of us have really carried that out where we have. There's many people that do a better job of that than I do, but I don't think any of us have ever done to others everything that we would like to be done to us. But there's another passage that summarizes this as well, and that's in Luke chapter 10. A certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And that's what most people want to do. They want to do something to inherit eternal life. And the Lord says, what is written in the law? What is your reading of it? He answered and said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And that summarizes what God is trying to portray in the Ten Commandments. And this lawyer says, you have answered rightly. This do and you shall live. But then the Lord goes on with the parable of the Good Samaritan to show again that none of us are able to carry out just that summary of the Old Testament law. We're just not able to do it. You shall love the Lord your God. First, we've got to be right with God. With all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, having no other gods before him, and your neighbors yourself, and then you treat others properly because you're right with God. And because we have difficulty, because of our nature, carrying that out, we're self-centered instead of being God-centered by nature. We need a Savior, and that's what the Lord came to be. He came to be our Savior. He came to show us grace in providing a way whereby we could be forgiven when we fail with regard to the law. Now we're going to continue looking at the individual commandments as they are explained in the New Testament as we go on. Now our Heavenly Father, bless thy word and bless those who have listened. We thank thee for thy love, for thy salvation, and we thank thee for the Lord Jesus. We pray in his name. Amen.